I want you to take your Bible tonight, if you will, to the book of Amos, Amos chapter 3. Probably the most well-known verse in Amos is in chapter 3, and we're not going to use that as text tonight, not going to read it, I'm going to read another, but Amos chapter 3, if you got a Scofield Bible, it's on page 935, Amos chapter 3, if you will. And we're just going to look at one verse tonight, read that verse. I'm going to kind of preach, going to plead, and we'll have a little bit of a Bible study, all right? So we're going to be turning to a lot of Scripture, so be ready to do that, and I'll try to give you time to get there. I hope you will turn, and you'll get to where we're at, and the Word of God will be a blessing to you tonight. You know, the greatest problem I think a preacher has is when he comes to preach and he preaches to people that come with preconceived ideas. And it's almost like, hey, preacher, you got to prove me wrong, all right? Well, I'm not going to try to prove you wrong. I'm just going to try to show you what the Bible says, all right? Now, it's up to you what you do with what the Bible says. Strictly up to you. And I hope you'll listen tonight on purpose. Amos 3, if you will, verse 1. The Bible says, hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying. Now we're going to stop right there. I want to use really as the text those words. It says, up from the land of Egypt. Up from the land of Egypt. Now, to be honest with you, I could have chosen 81 other places in the Bible to give you the message and to give you as our text tonight, because 80 times in the Bible we find the words out of the land of Egypt. 80 times, out of the land of Egypt. Twice we find the words that are here, which is up from the land of Egypt. Out of all the episodes and the experiences in Israel's history, God refers to them coming out of Egypt more than any other one instance in their history. Over and over, he brings that to mind. It's even mentioned three times in the New Testament, all right? Now listen, if God has mentioned that so many times, it's got to mean something. Okay, it has got to be important, all right? I believe obviously it was, and it's very important. And God said it's very important that they not forget that God brought them out. God brought them out of Egypt. And we need not to forget that. You said, well, wait a minute, preacher. That happened a long, long time ago. And okay, he kept reminding them, but we're not them. We're not Jews. And so why did he keep saying it? Why did he even bring it up in the New Testament at all? Well, there's a Bible reason. You said, what? Well, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to see there. There's a reason God says it over and over, and there's a reason it's important for us, okay? This is not just something that was put down for the Jews and keep reminding them, the Hebrew people, the Israelites. No, it's for us. And the reason I know it is because what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6. Now these things, all right, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now look, if you will, in verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. Notice, upon whom the ends of the world are come. That hour includes us. It's for our admonition. These things are written for our admonition. They're in sample. What happened to them is an example to us, okay? And these were our examples that we should not lust after evil things as they did, okay? Now look, you said, well, what things? Well, what he's talking about there in chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Hey, listen, he's talking about coming out of Egypt. He's talking about coming out of Egypt. All right, so there's a Bible lesson there for us, and I want you to latch on to it. When I talk about it, you're not going to say, never heard that before. All right, but that's why God put it in the Bible 82 times, okay? He wanted us to get it. He wanted us to get it. He wants to just kind of drive it home, if you will, all right? Number one, I want you to see this. Egypt was not the place of blessing. Egypt was not the place of blessing. All through the scriptures, Egypt is a type. It is a picture, if you will, of the world system, all right? All of that which is anti-God, which is against the Lord, that is what we find when the Bible talks about Egypt. Egypt is a picture of all of that. It was then and it is now. Hasn't changed, okay? Has not changed. And so the Bible points that out. That's why over and over in the scripture, when you talk of people and it talks about people going to Egypt, it says they went down into Egypt. They went down in Egypt. Hey, it's not only down geographically, it was down spiritually. Down spiritually. Those that went down into Egypt got into problems. Over and over again, there were problems. Why? Because they went and they weren't supposed to go. The only one, and I mentioned it this morning in the Sunday school lesson, Jacob was one, and God told Jacob, he said, Jacob, it's okay for you to go to Egypt. But I mean, the others, he said, stay out. Isaac was headed that way, and God said, don't go. Abraham went. He picked up a concubine. He picked up a handmaiden, and she became the mother of Ishmael. And boy, do we have troubles today. Yeah. Now, if he had stayed out of Egypt, that wouldn't have happened. But he went. So I want you to see that Egypt is a picture of the world. It is not the place of blessing. It is not the blessings of blessing. Blessings do not come for the child of God in the world. That is not where they come, all right? The truth of the matter is, all in the scriptures, the children of God, the children of Israel, were oppressed in the world. They were oppressed in Egypt. I mean, that was what was wrong. They cried out to God because of that oppression. And asked God, and God sent Moses to be the deliverer for them. Look, it hasn't changed. The world out there is still going to oppress the child of God. Let me show you in the scriptures. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, all right? John 15, and look in verse 18, if you would. John 15, verse 18, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here, and he's talking to his disciples. He said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, if you will. Verse 13. Just look at that verse with me. And here it is again in the New Testament. God says to us about this world in 1 John 3, verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Listen, the world's not the friend of the child of God. The world is not the place of blessing. That is the place where we're going to be oppressed. Mark it down. Mark it down. I'm going to say something here that might stagger you. Any Christian... that has any amount of popularity in the world is a weak compromiser. Is a weak compromiser. Now, I'm not saying they're not saved. Please don't misunderstand me. But in order for a child of God to be popular in the world, they've got to be willing to compromise with the world. They've got to be willing to, you know, compromise and say, okay, we won't draw the line so strong or so tight. Hey, listen, There's no strong, independent, Bible-believing Baptist preacher that's popular in the world. They're just not. They have no popularity. Now, sometimes they're tolerated when the world wants something out of us. When the world wants something out of us. But they're not popular. Because the Bible said the world's going to hate you. The world hates it when we stand up and take a strong stand for the Word of God. When we take a strong stand for righteousness, godly living, the world does not approve. The world hates us. The world screams, you are an intolerant bunch of bigots. We're just pointing out sin, okay? Just pointing out sin. Look, folks, I can't help it. The Bible's true. There's things that are right. There's things that are wrong. And when the Bible says they're wrong, they're wrong. I can't change that. I can't tamper with the Word of God. I can't make it appealing to you, all right? It's kind of like somebody trying to feed me liver. Now, you can make whatever argument you want for it. And somebody said, oh, you've never had so-and-so's liver. I don't care how they cook it. I don't care what they do. I don't care if it's smothered in this or smothered in that. Doesn't matter to me one bit in the world. You're not going to make it appealing to me. It's just not going to be. I don't like it. I've never liked it. I don't plan to like it. I'm glad I have one, and I want it to keep working, but I don't want to eat anybody else's or anything else's. You can't make it appealing. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. When we believe the Bible, the world out there stands opposed to this book. And there's no way for us to make the Bible appealing to them. There's no way to make Thus Saith the Lord without compromising this book. You have to compromise. You have to water it down. Water it down. Those fellows out there that have built the big mega churches in this day and age and that are famous and on TV and people talk about them appealingly, they've watered down the truth of the Word of God. And when you try to pin them down about what the Bible says, they will kind of just crawfish. I don't know if you understand that term, all right? But I grew up, and they'll crawfish around what the Bible says. They will not stand on it, okay? They will not stand upon the Word of God. They refuse to do it, all right? And by the way, I'll say this to you, that those folks still have those that are going to try to pick them apart because they have a semblance of Christianity. Remember, the world is not the place of blessing, all right? The world is not the place of blessing. Egypt was not the place of blessing. Number two, God warned the children of Israel and he brought them out and he said it over and over again because Egypt is not the place to get close to God. Egypt is not the place to get close to God. When Israel was in Egypt, they did not get close to God there. The truth of the matter is they got away from God. They got away from him. The easiest thing in the world to do, I think, is backslide. Get away from God. I want you to take your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And look with me. And a verse, you said, boy, I've heard that. Yeah, I know. It's been preached here. It'll be preached again. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 17 and verse 18. Now listen. Listen on purpose, okay? Listen on purpose. 2 Corinthians 6, 17. Wherefore come out from among them. Out from among them who? The world. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. But notice, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. But that's not going to happen until you get out of the world. Out of the world. Now, our problem is we get in the world. And we get in the world gets on us. The world gets upon us. The world's ways, the thinking of the world, the habits of the world, the practices of the world, they influence us, all right? They're going to do that. It's so easy to get away from the Lord when we're in the world. I don't ever hear of anybody that gets out of church, used to be faithful in the house of God, gets out of church, quits going to church, gets away from that, and after years out there, no exposure, no fellowship with God's people, says, man, I just so close to God. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. But on the other hand, God says, look, if you'll come out from them, if you'll separate yourself from that old world, if you'll do that, he said, I promise you a relationship like no other. He said, I'll be a father to you. I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters. We're talking about a close relationship. Close relationship. I feel like I've got a pretty good relationship with my son and daughter. And we're close. If they call, I don't say, what do you want now? Don't. That's not the question. If I call them, it's not, Dad, why are you calling again? It's not that. When we're together, we enjoy being together. All right? There's a relationship. Now, I'll be honest with you. There's other people I like. There's other people I like a lot. But they're not my son. They're not my daughter. They're not that close. But God says to us, listen, if you can get out of that world, you'll get out of that world, and you'll separate yourself from it. He said, you'll have the relationship with me that I want to have with you. You'll be my son. You'll be my daughter. All right? I mean, we can do that if you'll just do it and you'll touch not the unclean thing, all right? Keep your hands off of that, the filth of the world. Don't let it happen to you, okay? But what happens, a Christian gets out in the world and we backslide. Hey, listen, that's one reason we need to be in the house of God twice on Sunday and once in the middle of the week, okay? That's why. Well, because you get out in the world. And you have to listen to all the garbage. You have to listen. I mean, you can't separate yourself from it. You're exposed to it, and there's no way to get away from it. You can't go wearing earmuffs, you know, on the job. Nobody hear you. No, you're out there. You see it. You're in it, and you're immersed, and it gets on you. So you get in the house of God to help you get that cleared off, to get that cleared up. Hey, Egypt's not the place to get close to God. You'll never get close to God while you're living in the world. You can't do it. You say, preacher, I'd like to have a better relationship with the Lord. Then get out of the world and get the world out of you. Just as much as you possibly can, get it out of you. And by the way, when you see what it's doing to you, get it out of you. I'm going to confess something to you. I remember when we first, 40-something years ago, 47 years ago, I guess now, I went to the ACE training, and some of that training, there occasionally, just once in a while, there was some of that training. My mind said, what? And then I realized, wait a minute, they're right. That's right. But I've been exposed to some things so much that I got to where I accepted it as right. But it's not. It's not right. Boy, that's why the Bible says, hey, you want to get close to God? Get out of the world. Separate yourself from the world. And now, wait a minute. Don't misunderstand what I'm preaching. I'm not preaching to you isolation. I'm not telling you never go out, you know, stay in your house, lock it up. The only time you get out is come straight to church. No, I'm not saying that. But you be sure you don't let the world's influence get on you. You be sure you bathe yourself in the Word of God and you've got up that guard against that world's influence, all right? Be careful that you don't find yourself messed up. And you say, how? Next point, all right? The next point, take your Bible to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Old Testament, again, I want you to see what happened to the nation of Israel when they were in Egypt. Numbers chapter 11. By the way, this same thing happens to us. This is the same thing happens to us when we get in the world and let it begin to affect us, all right? Numbers chapter 11, verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. He said, what's the Bible saying? Hey, listen, Egypt puts the wrong appetites in the child of God. Egypt puts the wrong appetites in the child of God. We get in the world and we begin to lust after things we don't need. We begin to have an appetite for those things that are wrong. It puts it there. We see something. We've been running, my mother-in-law been trying to sell off 50 plus years of stuff that her and her husband accumulated in life, okay? And having an estate sale to try to get rid of that. Listen, do you ever just even stop to consider how much stuff you've accumulated? Now, mine is treasure. Yours is junk, okay? And that's the way we view everything, all right? But I said to those people that were coming in and looking, I was there a little bit, and when I was there during those 3 days, if I was there and somebody came in, I'd say, look around, I know there's something here you can't live without. Now, the truth of the matter is there was nothing there they couldn't live without because they've been living without it, all right, living without it. All of advertising is designed to get you to want something. And to the point where you think, I need that. I need that. See, if you just want it, you might talk yourself out of it. But if you can convince yourself you need it, then I can justify it. I needed this. I had a tremendous need for this right here. Hey, the truth of the matter is, all of the world's advertising is designed for that purpose. All right? I mean, and some of it even goes too far as to start and end the advertisement and say, you deserve this whatever. Well, you don't deserve that. There's no way you can say, I deserve a BMW. Why? Or a Chevy. Or a Ford. Deserve it? No, you may want it. But hey, the world does a tremendous job of advertising. They're able, and the devil is a master at deception. He makes things that are terrible, he makes things that are harmful to you look so good. And what it does, it puts an appetite within us that's wrong. Puts an appetite within us that's wrong. Look, I don't know how you came up, all right? And this is a part of the problem, okay? This is part of the problem. I came up, I was raised in a preacher's house, a very strict preacher. I told somebody the other day, I said, man, I've never been inside a theater. I have no idea what the inside of a movie theater looks like. I was talking to Brother Blanton back there, and I said, yeah, I don't have any idea. I've never been. I don't know what it looks like. Got no idea, never been. Why? My dad preached against it. My dad preached against Hollywood movies. He said, what's wrong with it? That's another sermon, okay? But, you know, he preached against that. And I grew up, and we didn't. We didn't go. We never had been. And we didn't do that, all right? I grew up. I've never tasted any kind of alcoholic beverage. I don't know what beer, wine, or bourbon, vodka, or any of the other stuff y'all drink. I hope you don't. I don't know what any of that stuff tastes like. You said, never had it, never had it, never had it. Now, I promise you, as a kid, I would have tasted some, but some of it stunk so bad, I thought, why would anybody drink that nasty stuff? So I never did, and now, I'll be honest with you, and I tell you the truth, I'm not tempted whatsoever. Not tempted whatsoever to do that, all right? But the world seeks to put an appetite for that in you. And the world makes it look good like, oh, this is the best thing there is. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember smoking ads on television. Ads for cigarettes. Now, they're not there anymore. They've outlawed that, so we advertise them in other ways, you know. I get aggravated now watching a Roy Rogers movie on YouTube. And every advertisement in it is for some kind of booze, almost. And I'm thinking Roy would have been heartbroken. All right? He might not have been the world's greatest Christian, but I believe he was a Christian, all right? And he didn't live that kind of lifestyle. But, I mean, they make it look good. They make it, the movies make it look so cool to have that cigarette hanging out of your lip or between your two fingers. And you think, man, this is cool. It puts an appetite in you, something you don't need, something that's wrong, something that's wicked, something that's evil, something that's harmful. Hey, Egypt puts the wrong appetites in the child of God. Gives you the wrong appetite. So you stay out of Egypt. Stay out of Egypt, okay? Why? Keep your appetites right. Take your Bible to 1 John chapter 2, all right? You say, that's Old Testament. I know how you think, so we're going to the New Testament. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, won't you look in verse 15 with me there, all right? 1 John 2, verse 15. Notice what the Bible says. 1 John 2:15, Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, folks, do you have any trouble understanding any of those words? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I know this old King James Bible, and it's so hard to understand, but you don't have any problem understanding that verse. We don't have a problem whatsoever. Hey, the Lord doesn't want us lusting after the things of this world. Doesn't want us doing that. Nowadays, we've decided to get rid of the cigarettes, so now it's vaping is the big thing. Man, you can fill your car with a cloud, all right, when you exhale vaping. I watch people, I see the window come down and this big cloud comes out. I know they're vaping, all right? It's amazing. Now, why do we do that? Why do we do things like that? Well, the world puts that lust in us, gives us the wrong appetites, okay? Listen, why did God say 82 times to get out of Egypt, out of the land, out, up from the land? Why? He wants us out of Egypt. Why? He doesn't want us to have the wrong appetites. Doesn't want us to do that. And he knows it'll do it. It's not the place to get close to God. It's not the place of blessing. It'll put the wrong appetites in the child of God. So God says over and over, let's come out, all right? We'll come out. But here's the other thing. Back, if you will, Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. I want you to get Numbers chapter 14 in one hand. And I want you to get Exodus chapter 1 in the other one, all right? Now, I think it'd be easier if you put your left hand in Exodus chapter 1 and the right hand in Numbers chapter 14. But if you want to do it different, go ahead, all right? But I want you to look at both these places, all right? So here we are in Numbers chapter 14, verse 2. Here we are. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Now the truth of the matter is, answered the question in verse 3 is no. No. Now what happened? What happened? They forgot how bad it was. They forgot how bad it was. You said, well, how bad was it? Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, all right? Here's how bad it was. Exodus chapter 1, verse 11. The Bible says, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Hey, they made it hard on them. They made it real hard on them. And here, just a little bit later, we have those same people that had it tough saying, well, I wish we were back there. I wish we were back there. Said, how does that happen? We're prone to forget how bad it was in the world. Now, here's a problem. I mentioned to you, I grew up in a fundamental Baptist home. There were things we never thought about doing there. And you said, why didn't? Because my dad would have tanned my hide big time. And it was a very unpleasant experience and didn't want to go through it. Had gone through it enough that it won't do it again. And so very strict, stayed out of it. Now, you said, why when you got older didn't you rebel? Because I had two eyes and a brain. All right? And God had touched my heart by the time I got older. And I had two eyes and I saw what people did out in the world. I saw the crowds living it up, as they called it. I saw what was happening to them. And I said, I don't think so. That doesn't even look like fun. Hey, I've had friends of mine tell me, this before they got saved, how they'd go out and be them and their buddies out the night drinking. And they're out there drinking, and he said, man, the next day I come out, and he said, my car is just filthy as could be because they've gotten sick in my car. And he said, I'm coming out, I can't remember much from last night. Hey, I just want to tell you, a couple of stories like that, and I thought, doesn't sound like fun to me. I don't believe I want to do that. I don't know, like y'all, I don't like throwing up, okay? And I hear people talking about a hangover. I got a drink, boy, they said I had a hangover. Okay, so it was worth it though, right? Well, I think so. I really don't remember it. You got to be kidding. I said I had two eyes and a brain and God touched my heart. And I said, I don't want any part of that. But here's the problem. Here's a problem. I think sometimes we have people grow up in that and they really don't know how bad it is in the world. And maybe they don't have two eyes and they look and they don't think. So they get where they can and they get turned loose and they go dive into that world. And boy, they get beat up like crazy. I've stood before crowds of young people. I've stood in a Christian school and said, you're not missing anything in the world. You're missing nothing in the world. The only thing out there is heartache and trouble and problems, pain and suffering. You're not missing anything. But boy, the world's got a good advertising program. Egypt was a place that Israel couldn't wait to get out of, but it wasn't long. They were saying, I wish we were back there because we forget. God's people have a way of forgetting how the devil beats them up in the world. God's people have a way of forgetting that. Takes away our dignity. It takes away virtue. Leaves you bruised, battered, wasted. All of that. World's not your friend. I can't help it, man, but the song old brother Johnny Flanagan wrote comes back to mind, One More Night with the Frogs. I mean, it's amazing. Amazing. You know, the words of that song, I had a terrible time with them last night. I just got to do it again. I was talking to somebody, I don't know now who it was, just a little while back, and they had never heard of Brother Flanagan, never heard that song. And I began to give them some of the words to it, and they go, man, that's good. And I said, yeah, but that's the world. And we think, I got to go back in that. No, we forget how bad it is. And I think a lot of times God's people in grow up and protected, and then they go into it, and then I'm afraid so many times they're ashamed to come back. Ashamed to come back. Now, I don't think you should be. I don't think they should be, but they do. And they seem to be that way. Listen, the world beat you up. So the Lord said, get out of it. He said to Israel, remember, I brought you out. I brought you out of that. I've pulled you out of that stuff. It's amazing when God asks for a little bit of effort from his children that the flesh says, let's go back in the world. Let's go back in the world. Let's go back to it. If some little thing doesn't go their way, they decide, I'm going back to the world. Really? It was your friend? It helped you out? No, I don't think so. Now, there's some of you saved out of a different background than I was. And you can testify, preacher, that's right. It beat me up. It was hard. And you're scarred today from it. You still bear the scars. Hey, listen, I stand in front of people. Every time I preach to young people, I'm pleading with them. I don't want you to have those scars. I want you to grow up pure. I want you to grow up clean. I want you to not have those scars there. I like the testimony that said, I never did that. So much better than to say, man, God saved me out of this life. Now listen, I'm glad God can save people out of that. But boy, I like it when God keeps us out. Well, how does it happen? Because we get sucked in by the world. We get out there and we let that world determine our appetites. We let the world determine our appetites, what we think we need. Oh, listen, could I just remind you what the Lord said 82 times? Up out of the land of Egypt. Up out of the land of Egypt. Up from the land of Egypt. Hey, listen, God wants us out. God wants us out. Don't think for a moment the world is your friend. Don't think for a moment. Look, we ought to do everything we can to separate ourselves from it. Everything we can. I'll be honest with you, I do understand in this day it gets more and more difficult all the time. I understand that because it's everywhere. Oftentimes you can't even look at a billboard because of what's there. Sometimes you need at Walmart, you need blinders on because of the state of undress people come in. Man, it's ungodly. It's wicked. But man, people seem to be so proud of that flesh. Hey, listen, I'm just saying to you tonight, have we learned their lesson? Have we learned their lesson? God told them it's not the place of blessing. You want God to bless you? Get out of Egypt. Get out of Egypt. Hey, it's not the place to get close to God. You want a close relationship? Get out of Egypt. It's just not the place to do it. You want to have the right appetites? Get out of Egypt. Get out of the world. Get out of the world. Don't let the world in. Don't let it pull you down. Don't let the world make you forget how bad it was there. Don't let there. I can't help it. This last illustration, there's in all my life, I think of beer commercials. There's only been one I've ever seen that I thought looked remotely close to the truth. Some of them feature this set of Clydesdale horses pulling a wagon, and man, it's beauty in motion. Those Clydesdales pulling together, you look at that, but they're advertising booze. Advertising booths. And, you know, that it, hey, you only go around once in life. Grab for all the gusto you can. Yeah, grab for all the gusto you can. Oh, man, yeah, it makes it look so appealing. But I'll never forget the one commercial I saw. It shows the view is through a window of an apartment in a cheap apartment building. And it's got this guy that's got somewhat of a beer belly on him, if you understand. And he's in an undershirt. It's kind of a little bit dingy looking. And they're advertising their new screw-off lid, you know, just twist it off. And it shows this guy in there twisting his body. And I'm thinking, there's a true representation. He's drank enough. He's too dumb to know what it means. Now, their idea was it's supposed to be funny. The only one I've ever seen that's right. Listen, the world's not your friend. Egypt's not your friend. That's why God told the Israelites so many times. That's why he said to us, what happened to them was for our example. What happened to them was for our admonition. Man, can we learn? Can we learn their lesson? Can we learn their lesson? Would you bow your heads tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Truthfully, I don't really know how to give the invitation.